Psalms 119, verse 145. Psalms 119, verse 145. We're going verse by verse in the book of Psalms. Let me go to the Lord, a word of prayer, and then we'll go through the scripture tonight. Father, you surely have been good to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you'd just meet us here this evening. I pray that you'd use this message for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to preach and to bring it forth. Pray you would stir our hearts. Help us to be a people of prayer. And we ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. So as we're in Psalms 119, we're down here. Look here at verse 145 and 146. The Bible says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I will keep thy testimonies. Now here is David. He was a man of God, a man after God's own heart. And what we can see in this section, he's bringing a prayer request to the Lord. He's bringing a request to the Lord. And what we could see is in verse 46, he says, save me. He's not talking about salvation because David was already saved, but he's talking about deliverance. He's talking about deliverance. We'll see later on in this section, there were those that were enemies that were against God, that were getting closer to him. So if you think about David was a man of war. And there was the enemy that was coming in, that was going against him. And so David is praying and asking the Lord to help him. He's asking the Lord for protection. He's asking the Lord for deliverance. And what we could see is in this prayer where he says, I cried with my whole heart. Yeah, this prayer, you could see, was an urgent one to David. This prayer meant something. This prayer really meant something to David. He put his heart behind it. You know, when we pray, we should really mean something. Amen? It should mean something to us. Sometimes you may get in the habit of your prayer life and you're praying, but you're not really thinking. Don't get there. Amen? And the reality is, this prayer meant something. So sometimes when we pray, you know, we're talking to God. And there is a great need. And as we have that great need, we may cry. We may pour out our heart to God. And that's what he did. He poured out his whole heart to the Lord, and he was asking for deliverance, to deliver him from the enemy. And what we could see is, it's interesting when you look at this, that even though David was facing a hard trial, he says, I cried with my whole heart unto thee. In verse 46, we'll come back to the last part. He said, I cried unto thee, save me. And here is David was wondering, maybe something was going to happen to him. Was he going to be captured? Was he, lose his life? But what David did not do, he didn't turn away from God. You see the other part? He says, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Verse 146, the second part, and I shall keep thy testimonies. This trial, even though it was really difficult, really hard, and may have the enemy was going to destroy him, did not destroy David's faith. It made him stronger. You know, the devil, we were talking about this a little bit during Sunday school about trials. But you think about the devil, the trials that you go through, the devil's hoping those trials will get you to be shipwrecked. And what I mean by that is to turn away from God. The devil is hoping the trials that you go through in life will get you to no longer trust in God, to believe in God. He wants you to curse him. He wants you to walk away from God. And the reality is, God wants the opposite. Whatever the devil wants, you can rest assured, God wants the opposite. Whatever God wants, the devil wants the opposite of. God is love. You think about the devil is hate, right? God wants you to go to heaven. The devil wants you to go to hell. He's the complete opposite of God. And what we could see is, God's desire is for us to grow stronger through our trials. And these trials made David to grow stronger. Look what he was saying. He says, I will keep thy statutes. He's kind of like making a vow to God. He's saying, Lord, he's pouring out his heart and saying, Lord, the enemy's getting closer. I need you to deliver me from them, but I will. It wasn't what I've done in the past, because David was trying to keep God's word. He says, I will. He made a vow. He made a vow to God saying, Lord, even though I'm going through this trial and even though it's really difficult, I am going to keep your word. Is that how we are during trials? Does it strengthen us? Look what he says in the second part of verse 146. I shall keep thy testimonies. David allowed this trial to strengthen him. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 1 Peter. We'll be coming back to Psalms. Look here at what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. Don't allow trials to weaken you. Don't allow trials to get you away from the Lord. Look here what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, like I said, we're talking about trials even in Sunday school, going through it, maybe a little bit more in depth during Sunday school. But look here in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what the devil's goal is. The devil's goal is try to devour you, to try to destroy you. If God would allow the devil would kill you. He would. That was when our Lord walked on the earth. He told that to Peter, you know. He wanted to destroy Peter. You can rest assured, he wants to destroy you. Why is that? Because you're trying to live for God. Think about it. You are doing something that the devil hates. You're telling people about Jesus. You're telling people that the devil hates them and wants them to go to hell. And you're telling them of a way to go to heaven. The devil hates you. And he's walking about. You know, the thing is, the devil is not everywhere present. God is everywhere present. Amen? God is all powerful. The devil's not. Amen? He can be at one place. Now he has the demons, you know, that they can be different places, but they can only be at one place. So wherever they are, God is everywhere present. What a glorious thought. But here it is. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And look here, the God is helping us, right? Because we're going to go through these trials. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. God is telling us how to win the battle. He's not telling you to pick up a baseball bat. He's not telling you to pick up rocks. He's not telling you to get a bazooka. Even though it would be nice to shoot one of those one time. Wouldn't it be, you know, just to shoot a bazooka would be pretty interesting. Make sure you have the earplugs in or whatever. But what is he telling us? Faith. Faith. You're no match to the devil. But can I tell you, the devil cannot defeat when you have faith. The Bible even tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's Ephesians chapter 6, about the armor of God, that the shield of faith shall stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. You think about that. All of them. Faith. God is telling us faith. So what does that mean? Faith, that meant believing what God said in His Word, applying it to your heart. You know, the devil will try to put thoughts in your mind to get you to doubt God. Remember Elijah had that great victory? That victory where he called down the fire from God and consumed the sacrifice that was there? You know what caused Elijah in the next chapter of Kings? Do you remember that when he called down the fire of God that was there? Remember the prophets of Baal tried to cut themselves and nothing happened. And he called down the fire of God and everyone's like, whoa, look at that. You know, God consumed the sacrifice. And then he said what? We'll get to that soon. He told the king Ahab, he said, it's going to rain. 3.5 years it didn't rain. He said, it's going to rain. In the next chapter, Jezebel, she was just a wicked queen. Jezebel did not confront Elijah, but sent a messenger. And it was his words that got Elijah off the path where God wanted. Can I tell you, it's the same. Sometimes it's the words that you hear or get you to try to be fearful. You don't have to be fearful. We serve the God of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Can I tell you, He is God, and no one's going to change that. There's never been a day He hasn't been almighty. Do you ever think about that? There's been some days I felt stronger than other days. Some days I wake up and I feel pretty strong. And other days I wake up, it's like, oh, my back. You know, and I can't tell you every single day of my life I have been strong, right? I can't. As I get older, I feel weaker. Miss Selma, there hasn't been a single day, a single second that he hasn't been almighty. Right? I mean, he's all powerful. And he says, hey, just have faith. I said it, you believe me. Amen? And here it is, he tells us this. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know what God is telling us in His Word? God is telling us that you're not the only one that's going through a trial, but others are. Right? Now the devil will try to tell you the opposite. Why? Because he's a liar. He'll say, Miss Selma, you're the only one that's going through this trial. No one else is going through a trial. That's not what God said. God said the reality is you're going through a trial. Dave's going through a trial. Joe's going through a trial. Debbie's going through a trial. The reality is we're all going through trials at different times in our life. So here it is. He's reminding of this. Why? Because sometimes in our mind, we can start thinking, I'm all alone. Was that what happened to Elijah? Lord, he was in the cave, and Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here? Lord, it's only me. I was the only one that didn't bow the knee. And God said, well, that's not the case, Elijah. I think he said, 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee. God knew every one. Amen? Folks, what I'm saying is this. You're going to have trials. The devil's going to try to attack you. David was being attacked, and he said, Lord, save me. He was asking the Lord for help, but it strengthened him. And look what we see here in the next verse. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye suffered a while, you're going to go through a little trial. And you're going to go through trials. And sometimes you're going to suffer. That's what he says. You're going to suffer, right? This world that we're living in is not the world that God wanted us to have. This is the world we chose. And what I mean by this is this. God gave us a world without sin. Adam and Eve sinned. And because Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered into the world. And now we live in a world that's filled with wickedness. When God created this world, the Bible says it was very good. Who's going to say it's very good now, considering all the wickedness? This is the world we chose, right? So bad things happen to good people, right? You're going to have trials. But look what he says this. Make you perfect, that means mature. You're going to grow. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Go back here to look at this book of Psalms 119. Psalms 119, David's in the midst of a trial. And instead of allowing that trial to weaken him, get him to run away from God, it strengthened him. He made vows to God. I'm going to keep your word. You know, I'm going to do this, Lord. He made vows to God. Look here, as you're looking back to Psalms 119. Look down here, verse 147 and verse 148. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Here it is. You think about David as he's talking to the Lord. He says, I have prevented the dawning of the morning. David wasn't saying that he stopped the sun. Well, the reality is, you think about all of us tonight, hopefully all of us tonight, we'll go to bed, maybe sleep, right? Hopefully I get some sleep. My dog wakes me up sometimes. But what he's saying, what David is saying is that he laid his head down to start to sleep, and before the dawning of the morning, before that sun came up, David got up and started to pray to God. And then what he's saying is the other verse, verse 48, my eyes prevented the night watches. And you think about, there would be different watches. You think about someone in the military, there could be different watches, right? You have one time, another time, and someone could watch the night watch. And what David is saying is, when I could have went to bed, instead of going to bed, I spent that time thinking about you and your word. That's what he's talking about. David sacrificed, right? David had a desire for God. He loved God. He was going through this trial. This trial drew him closer to God. And the reality is we see the effects of it. This meant so much to David that when most of us, when the alarm clock will go off at 6 o'clock and the sun is, you can see, is surely set now, and the sun is getting ready to rise, we're like, David was already up. He was already praying. Folks, I want you to see here this trial, what it did. It helped David to draw closer. David was praying. David was thinking about God's word. And can I tell you, sometimes trials in our life can do that. Can draw us closer to God, to help us focus, to help us to get to that place where we are willing, he was willing to suffer because he wanted to spend time in prayer. We're living in a day and age. The Bible says that the last days would be perilous times, right? Dangerous days, dangerous times. And God said there would be a falling away. We're seeing that, right? We're seeing a falling away from the truth, right? The truth of God's word, as in people believing this book and truly following everything that's in this book. We're seeing a falling away, right? Yes, there's a lot of religious people, but you think about it, most people, they like the good things in the Bible, Barb, right? They don't like everything in the Bible because everything in the Bible say, I'm a sinner. Amen. And God says, get it out of your life. And when you get to that part, people don't like that, right? That's what 2 Timothy says, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure it. Because you know why? Because doctrine will hit home. The message I was preaching on this morning about sin, about homosexuality, adultery, fornication, witchcraft. A lot of people would be like, I don't want to hear that, right? I was showing Ariana before we came in, and someone created a new Bible, and they called it a progressive Bible. You know, it was just wickedness. You know, they took God's word and they put diversity in there. You know, yeah, I'm not joking. She saw it. Amen. It's just horrible. Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is don't touch his word. Don't mess with his word. Amen. But what do we see? David had a burden. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of James. In James chapter 5. David lost sleep because he wanted to talk to God. David didn't go to sleep because he wanted to meditate on God's word. He wanted to think about it. David was burdened. Look what the Bible says over here, James chapter 5. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another. He's not saying your sin, right? Faults, right? The things that you've done and that you can teach others and help them to learn, right? And he says, pray one for another. It's important to pray. That you may be healed. Look at this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, we know is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah had such a burden in his heart for his nation. He saw the condition of his nation, and it burdened him. The king and queen were wicked. There was idolatry all through. There was idolatry through that ministration that was there. People turned to Baal. There were Baal worship. I mean, just wickedness in the streets. And it burdened him that he started to get alone with God. And he started to pray and pray. And he prayed and said, God, please, allow it not to rain. And I believe that he prayed, and even though we don't see all the contents here, we can go back to the book of Kings and see that he prayed and said, Lord, allow it not to rain, that people will then be drawn to you. He prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Up in this area, they said we're in a severe drought. Now, we still got some rain, right? It's coming once in a while, but we haven't got the rain that we need. I'm sure the farmers would say, yes, we need a lot more rain. Could you imagine for 3.5 years what that would do to the St. Lawrence River, how it would go down, and other places? Can you imagine if we didn't have rain, the wells that you have could dry up? There would be people saying, don't be taking, you know, a long shower. Don't be watering your grass. I mean, think about how much would be dead. At least we wouldn't have to mow, Mark. Amen. You think about that grass would be dead. Think about the animals that would be suffering, that wouldn't have the rain. It would be hard. Imagine the distance that you would have to travel maybe to get water. Elijah, sometimes what we forget is Elijah prayed knowing he was going to go through this too. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to be impacted. But he earnestly prayed. Why? Because he was growing closer to God. When he was growing closer to God, how can you not care for your brothers, sisters, right? Your fellow brothers and sisters of your nation. He earnestly prayed. He had a burden. Can I tell you, where's that burden that we have in our heart for others? Do you ever have a burden in your heart for someone? You just pray for them? You're willing to sacrifice? Folks, can I tell you, David prayed for the trial that he was in. Elijah prayed for his people. Can I tell you, you know what? America is wonderful. I thank God for America. I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe the reason why God has not judged America like he should, and one day he will, is because you and others are still praying for this country. You imagine if you and others stopped praying for this country, what would happen? Now, I mean, look how wicked their country is, and we're still praying. Folks, can I tell you, God, we have seen some judgment that God has given us, and America is going to get a lot of judgment because of the wickedness that's happening. But you think about it, because of our prayers. Can I tell you, don't stop praying? Well, you know what concerns me? If God tarries, and you think about there's generations as time goes that will pass away, and we're in a following away, people turning away from God or not following His Word. Do you imagine in the generations to come, the handful of people that may be left to pray, right? Compared to millions that are here. Folks, can I tell you, there should be a burden that's on our heart. David was burdened. Look back here to the book of Psalms. In Psalms 119, look down here, verse 149. In Psalms 119, verse 149, it says, "Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment." Isn't it interesting, as David is praying to the Lord, he's in a trial. There are those that are coming closer. We'll see that in the next verse. There are people drawing closer to him, as in the enemy. I mean, it's really affecting him that he's not going to sleep at the normal time. He's not sleeping that long because he's getting up early, or he's just going through the day just praying and meditating on God's Word. He says something here. He says, "Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness." That word loving kindness is defined as kindness, favor, merciful pity. He didn't make a demand to God. He didn't demand God and say, "God, you owe this to me." Nope. He didn't go to God and say, "God, you must." Nope. He went to God. He says, "According to your loving kindness, Lord, have pity on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, please help me." Oh, could I tell you, it's so much better to show ask for mercy than be demanding. Because if you have pride, God has a way of humbling you. Amen? Bringing you. But here it is. He brings it out. It says, according to thy loving kindness. The voice according to thy loving kindness. He didn't demand deliverance. He asked, Lord, have pity on me. Can I tell you, when we go to prayer, we have to realize He's God, not me. He's God, you're not. It's His will, not mine. So when I go to Him and pray, I'm not demanding. There may be things they say, Lord, if it be your will, it would be a blessing for this to happen. But the reality is, Lord, thy will be done. Don't go demanding to God. I go to the Lord and say, Lord, will you help me? I ask the Lord for mercy. Lord, your wonderful grace. Your grace is so wonderful. Lord, have pity on me. You know why? David realized he didn't deserve it. None of you, me included, none of us, we don't deserve it. The reality is this, we did not and do not deserve God leaving heaven, coming down here to be born of a virgin, to live a life, a sinless life, to die on the cross, to die for your sins and for mine. We did not deserve that. We don't deserve salvation. We are guilty. And to go to God demanding, that's foolishness. We can go ahead and ask. I'm not deserving. I'm not deserving of anything. God has given me more than I ever deserve. Even what He gave me was more. David, a man after God's own heart, he didn't go demanding, but he asked. He was asking the Lord for mercy. Lord, out of your loving kindness, will you deliver me? And look what he says at the end part of that. It says, quicken me according to thy judgments. That word judgment is another thing that's referring to his law. But that word quicken means to make alive, to revive, to repair. His desire is, Lord, revive me. Lord, help me to grow closer to you. The truth is, when you look at these verses ahead, you would say that David is close to the Lord. How many of us are willing to sacrifice, spend time, you know, not going to bed and maybe praying and praying through or getting up early to pray, you know? It's hard to get people to come to church today. Amen? It's hard to get people to come to church at any time. Can you imagine telling people, hey, can you spend some extra time in prayer for a need? What? You can't, you know, it's like, come on, go to church. Nah, maybe. If it's raining out, maybe I'll, well, but if it's raining too hard, I won't go, right? Or whatever it is, right? Here it is. David is already close to the Lord. But then he's saying, Lord, I know I need to grow closer. When you start growing close to God, you know what you find out? How wicked we really are. And we'll see Him for His holiness, and we'll be like, Lord, help me. Amen? Apostle Paul, that was saved for like 20-some years in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he says that I may know Him and the power of His suffering. What was he saying? He was already saved. He wanted to grow closer. Folks, can I tell you, when you start growing closer to God, when you start looking in and seeing who God truly is, you'll desire to grow closer. Because God is so good. Miss Alma was talking earlier how she prayed and God answered. I mean, think about how God is. God is good. David then says here in verse 150 and verse 151, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now we see what the battle that David's facing, the trial that he's going through. There were the enemy that David could see from a distance is now drawing closer. The enemy is moving up closer and closer to David. And David said, these enemies are coming against me because they are far from thy law. They don't love you. God, they don't love you. They don't have a care for you. They're wicked. And they're drawing closer to me to cause mischief, to cause problems. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Rest assured, that will happen. But here it is. I want you to think about this. So as David is praying this, as he's looking out, and he could see the enemy, the wicked ones, getting closer and closer to David. Did you see who was there? But thou art near. Even though they were getting closer, David realized, God, thou art near. You're here. Lord, you're still here. You haven't left my side. You're here. Folks, can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing. It doesn't matter those that may come and attack you, that you have God. I mean, think about it. God lives within. God is always near. God is here. Amen. And David could have been scared and took off. He's saying, Lord, I know you're near. Lord, I know you're with me. Folks, can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing that whatever you go in life, God's always there. In times of my life, I have had people betray me. I remember a time when I was in high school. I was a troublemaker. Thank God he saved me. Amen. But I was a troublemaker. And I had a friend that was a troublemaker. And I remember we went to a football game. And as we went to a football game, it was to another team. And as we were there, I would never try to start fights. I didn't, right? That just wasn't me. It wasn't my nature that was there. But my friend that I went to, he would always try to start fights. You know? Yeah. So anyway, I remember I was there, and my friend, his name was Chris, he was there, and he was like, I don't know, talking to this guy and talking all kinds of things to this guy. And I was just standing there, John. I wasn't doing anything. I was standing here. My friend's there. And he's talking to this guy, a bigger guy. And next thing I know, it was kind of like I start to look around and I was thinking, where did Chris go? And as I looked around, I was surrounded. I was surrounded by a bunch of people that Chris was talking to. Chris is now gone. And I'm in the middle. I'm thinking, whoa, you know, what a friend, you know. Thank God the police saw it, that we're there and came, or I would have had to beat all those people up. I didn't want to really do that. Amen. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is, you'll have sometimes in life where you'll have people. You'll have people that will leave and leave you all alone. Folks, can I tell you, since I accept the Lord as my Savior, I have never been alone. God is always near. Don't forget about that when you're in the midst of a trial. God is always near. And he closed this section as we're getting ready to close. He says, in verse 151 at the end, all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that was founded them forever. David knew that God's word is true, that God's word will never change, that if God made a promise, God's going to keep it. Aren't you glad that God, you think about it, God has given you his word, and you can go to his word, and it's never going to change. When God said, I'll give to you eternal life, he meant it. When God said, I'll save you, God meant it. When God said, I'll make a place for you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He meant it. God, the Bible tells us, God said that God that cannot lie has promised you eternal life. He meant it. When God said that he promised one day he'll set up his kingdom, he meant it. And David, through the midst of this trial, as he's going through things, and the trial helped him to grow closer to the Lord. He knew the Lord was there. He closed at the end of this section saying, Lord, I know your word is true. It's never going to change. You know what a wonderful blessing David had? David had a promise from God that he would be king. He did. When Samuel came to him that day, and Jesse had his sons go through, and then he anointed that little shepherd boy, that young shepherd boy, anointed him to be the next king of Israel. God told him that he was going to be king. And then as he went and killed Goliath, and then he was of the army of Saul of Israel, and then Saul got mad, King Saul got mad, and started to go against him and attack him. Can I tell you that even if King Saul got him, Miss Elma, there was no way he was going to kill him. You know why? Because God gave him a promise. He had a promise. That he had a promise that even though he would see the enemy getting closer, and the enemy would get closer, is thinking, whoa, and sometimes his own guys that he was there were probably thinking, oh, we're done. We're in. That David could say, but folks, God's here. And the second thing is, God has given me a promise. I'm going to be king. And God never, ever breaks his word. I could hear the guy over there, Mark, saying, but he didn't make me that promise to be king. God has given you a promise. He's given you a promise of eternal life. He's given you a promise to never leave thee. He has given you a promise to take you home. Folks, can I tell you? And no enemy, the devil included, can get rid of that promise. God gave it to you. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. I pray it would be a reminder to us as believers, your wonderful promise. Help us through those times we go through, tribulations, the trials, the testing. Lord, that we know that you're near. And Lord, that you have a purpose and a reason. Help us to be encouraged this week to live for you. We ask in Jesus, your precious name.